This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And of course, Layla is here. Layla Mudin is our nutritionist in residence. And she capably assists me every week in fielding your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the place to send questions. And
how are you doing, Dr. Hoffman?
I'm doing great. It's summer, you know, it's all good. I'm swimming in the bay, in the fresh water. I still have to wear a wetsuit because it's kind of cold.
Yeah.
Everybody looks like at me like I'm crazy going into the water because, you know, they all go running or biking at my house on weekends. And they see me jumping into this frigid water. And, you know,
it's all right.
I like it. You know, once you get used to it, it's good. So before we get to questions, I want to just comment on an article that was in MedPage, which is a vindication for something that we're doing. Headline, combination diet improves Crohn's disease in children. Exclusion Crohn's disease diet plus partial enteral nutrition produces sustained remissions and is well tolerated. How about that?
Wow.
So enteral nutrition means it's like a... you know, like the product that we use from Integrative Therapeutics.
Yes.
It's the, what's it called?
Oh, for crying out loud. But it's an elemental formula.
Elemental diet.
It's an elemental diet. So it's not...
And then we use the specific carbohydrate diet. They found that the diet really helped to reduce levels of inflammation, C-reactive protein, and calprotectin. These data support the use of the Crohn's disease diet and enteral therapy as a first-line therapy for children with mild to moderate active Crohn's disease.
Okay.
Very cool. Very cool. So now I think we're seeing, it's how many years has it been since we've been doing this? Like 25, 30 years?
Yeah.
And now finally it's being adopted by mainstream medicine.
Finally.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Although,
and this is specifically in children with inflammatory bowel disease?
Yeah, I guess starting in children, maybe there's a little more concern about putting children on powerful drugs. But,
yeah.
I mean, you still see plenty of ads on TV for drugs like Entyvio, which can cause PML. That's one of the warnings as they play, you know, happy music. And they show these people devouring hot dogs and, you know, in the background.
It's so weird to look at that and then listen to...
The litany of side effects.
May cause suicidal ideation.
Yeah,
cause
tuberculosis and a fatal brain disorder that is incurable.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can have your hot dog and your pizza.
Right.
Anyway, I just thought I'd comment on that because it's always so gratifying. Good news on the testosterone front. You know, you wrote an article on testosterone.
Yeah.
It's men's health month.
Yeah.
For the month of June, we both wrote articles. I wrote an article where I actually reprised an article I wrote, I think it was in 2014, and it was entitled Hormone Nazis to Men, No Testosterone for You.
Ah.
And if you've watched Seinfeld, you know, that's, you know, like the soup Nazi, you know, it's like no soup for you.
Yeah.
And it's there's so many, you know, warnings and so much negative publicity about testosterone, but testosterone can really be a boon for men. As we saw in the patient earlier today, what an amazing improvement in him.
What a nice turnaround in only a few months.
A very short time.
Yeah.
And, you know, all his numbers were better. He actually needs a little more testosterone because his levels weren't up there. But man, this guy lost weight. Things that were high and are so
fell
normalizing.
Off a cliff. Triglycerides fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
C-reactive protein fell
down.
Fatty liver resolved.
Resolving.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Because those triglycerides fell also.
And it's feeling better. And it was due not just to the testosterone helped, but with the diet and with the supplements that
Absolutely.
We gave.
Absolutely.
So anyway, so you wrote, now the focus of your article was slightly different.
Yeah, about what causes low testosterone and how to raise it to normal levels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's
through natural methods.
Natural methods to raise testosterone. First of all, if you drink, stop or really cut down. If you smoke marijuana, stop.
Because
these are the two things that really mess with
men
testosterone.
Men get gynecomastia with testosterone.
Right. If you're overweight, that beer belly, all of that kind of thing, get rid of it. All that fat depot is aromatizing any circulating testosterone at all to estrogen.
Get adequate sleep.
Inadequate sleep can raise cortisol, mess with your testosterone.
Right.
Cause more belly fat
Reduce as well. Your stress levels.
Yeah, reduce your stress levels.
Also, certain types of exercise. Not so much long distance running and cycling, but...
Squats. Deep knee bends might be the most powerful exercise to boost testosterone.
Right.
It's stunning, really.
Yeah.
And it could be that simple. So get up Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Do squats until you can do no more. I think it's a powerful exercise.
Lift heavy, but don't hurt your knees. Protect your knees.
Well, it's not bouncing. It's not, you know, it's not like running. It's not pounding.
Yeah.
So it's very, very low impact to do some squats.
Okay.
So that's great for naturally boosting testosterone.
So what I might mention is the way I feel vindicated on the testosterone thing is that a couple of studies have come out since I wrote that article. Many studies have come out. But one in particular showed that men with metabolic syndrome who took testosterone had 1/3 less heart attacks and strokes.
Wow.
1/3 less. I mean, that you can't. There's no drug on the market that, like statins don't do that even.
Yeah.
That's such a dramatic improvement. Also, remarkably, in men who've had prostate cancer, well, sometimes they, you know, and it's considered anathema to do this, but they tested the hypothesis that giving testosterone to men who are hypogonadal after prostate cancer, appears to be well controlled. It doesn't seem to be coming back. They give them testosterone. They feel better, and and it doesn't increase the chances of recurrence of prostate cancer.
That's fantastic.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
So
that's great news.
So on the safety side, on the benefit side, a lot of good news. Read the article. It's on at drhoffman.com. And if you subscribe to the newsletter, you would have gotten those articles.
Right. Right.
So happy Men's Health Month, belatedly.
You know,
by the time you listen to it, it may not be Men's Health Month.
Right. Or it'll be the last week of.
June is expiring.
Yeah. So we have an email from Judy. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. My brother-in-law was just diagnosed with prediabetes with a hemoglobin A1C of 6.4.
That's diabetes.
Right. So,
it's like, you know, pre-pregnancy.
Right.
You're there.
It's 6.4. It's diabetes. His trainer suggested he eat...
What do they consider diabetes? Like 8.0?
I don't know.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
No, but I'm not talking about holistic criteria. I'm talking about even conventional criteria.
Right.
He's got diabetes.
That's diabetes, right. His trainer suggested he eat steel cut oats as opposed to regular oatmeal because it doesn't affect your blood sugar like regular oatmeal. Is that true?
Well, yeah, I'm sure you have some things to say, but you know, it's that's sort of like moving the deck chairs on the Titanic a little bit because you're somewhat reducing the release of this large starch content of the cereal for breakfast. But like, how about just not having any grains?
That's it. When you have frank diabetes or even if Judy, your brother-in-law's doctor, is calling it pre-diabetes, it doesn't matter. It's the same condition, the same pathophysiology.
That advice is so ADA, like so American Diabetes Association. It's like, have whole grains.
Have whole grain pasta. It'll help your diabetes.
Yeah. Don't have white bread. Have whole wheat bread.
Now have whole wheat bread if your diet before consisted of, you know, a donut burger and a bucket of flan or something like that. Whole wheat bread will be better for you.
Yeah.
Steel cut oats will be better for you.
Somewhat better.
Than regular oatmeal.
Yeah.
But you're still talking about the food group with the highest amount of carbohydrates.
Guaranteed you're going to need medication if you follow those recommendations.
Yes.
And you know.
Yes.
But for someone usually with a hemoglobin A1C of 6.4, it's pretty easy to turn the ship around if
That's
you do
true.
The right thing.
If you do the right thing. And I would not advise steel cut oats. I would not advise any oatmeal at all, steel cut or not, or even if it's, you have to cook it all day long kind of oatmeal.
But what am I going to have for breakfast?
Oh, no. You can have an omelet. You can get up in the morning.
And no Lucky Charms?
No Lucky Charms. No Fruit
Whiskey
Loops.
Milk?
Nothing like that. No skim milk with that.
I can't have cereal for breakfast.
No. And don't put any dried fruit in that oatmeal either.
Do you know that cereal for breakfast is kind of we tend to think of it as traditional, but it's a historical aberration, is that pioneers in America used to have, you know, they would have a protein. They'd have like pork, and they would have bacon, and they would have eggs. Mm-hmm. And they would have milk from the cows.
Mm-hmm. And they cook it all in lard.
And it was this guy named Kellogg, John Harvey Kellogg, who introduced a reform movement, which kind of keyed in nicely, because if you could process the grain and hike the price and put it in a box with a colorful label, you could make more profits off the grains. And he thought he was improving the health of Americans. Actually, he was trying to curb sexual licentiousness, because the belief was that animal protein made you more animal.
To calm all that down, to cool all that off, eat cereal. It's like a cold shower.
Eat gruel. Eat porridge.
Eat gruel. Get rid of that vitality. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's really something.
And these days, the opposite. Everybody's looking to improve their sexual vitality.
Yeah. That's not going to happen if you're eating all that cereal product. So, Judy, that advice is actually incorrect. Because prediabetes and diabetes is a condition of carbohydrate intolerance, he can't have all those carbs, especially at breakfast.
Yeah.
If you make that first morning meal perfect,
it
sets up.
You know, it's vacation time, you get a little looser. So I looked in the freezer from a couple of years ago. I had some, for some guests, I had some grits, corn grits, and they're delicious. So I made them up and I had that for breakfast, even with a couple of eggs.
Nice.
I was enormously hungry that day because I had a big bowl of starch, even with the protein.
It doesn't counteract it.
Yeah.
Apparently. People will tell me, well, I had the bowl of oatmeal and the two hard-boiled eggs, and then I was still hungry 2 hours
I was starving
later.
At 10:45.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't happen, Judy, that wouldn't happen for your brother-in-law. Because it's a condition of carbohydrate intolerance, you must eliminate the high-carb foods. Oatmeal is one of them.
Yeah.
The steel-cut oatmeal may have a gram or two less carbohydrate than regular oatmeal, but it's still not low enough.
Yeah.
You want to get to below 50 grams, at the very least, below 50 grams.
Yeah, it's like switching from heroin to methadone. You know, you're still addicted, but it might be a little better.
Right, right. Go to the methadone clinic. Okay?
Right. To get your steel-cut oats.
Get your steel-cut oats. Oh, my goodness. So, okay. Thank you very much for that question. Your brother-in-law needs to be on a low-carb diet.
Your advice from your personal trainer.
Exactly. You know, unless they're certified nutritionist. Well, so many nutritionists are still giving the advice of eat your whole grains and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's mainstream advice.
It's mainstream advice. And I have to say, in the context of diabetes, it is incorrect.
They're so far behind.
It's absolutely
But one
incorrect.
Advance is that they have now admitted... And you've seen this in your communications because you're an RD, that they have now admitted that one option is a low-carb diet.
One option.
They've actually admitted that that is a possible option. But they say many, many different diets, different folks for different folks.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't gotten to the point where, like, everybody with diabetes really should be on a low-carb diet, which is the correct approach. But they've admitted that, studies show that it's a plausible way to get your blood sugar under control. They've admitted that.
Right, right. What I'm bothered by is that more and more young doctors, fresh out of medical school, are using insulin more.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about that.
Well, part of the reason, there's a trend towards using powerful medications early, because what they do, for example, with rheumatoid arthritis is at the earliest instigation, they use these very powerful immunosuppressant meds because they want to halt it in its tracks before it gets too bad. And the theory with diabetes is as it emerges, they want to, support the pancreas, help the pancreas, prevent the pancreas from being overstressed. So give a little insulin, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But that makes you fat, increases your appetite, and insulin is atherogenic.
It's atherogenic, and it could possibly feed a cancer. That's really the other thing.
That too.
So
that
it's all about inflammation. It could raise blood pressure. And especially it will raise your blood pressure by having your body retain more sodium. That's one mechanism. The other is that you put on more pounds, and that will increase your blood pressure.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to lose weight taking all that insulin. All right.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com.
So we've got another email here from Joe. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I have to have dental implant surgery to replace a failed root canal on the upper right molar. What are the supplements and foods to take before the surgery, during healing, and after the final step?
It's a good thing you said it was the upper right molar, because there's different supplements for the lower right molar as opposed to the upper left molar.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
Thanks for being really precise about it.
Right. Are there any concerns about all the foreign material, cadaver bone, titanium abutment, prosthetic tooth implanted in the gum and jawbone?
There are concerns about that. In fact, there was a book that we discussed called The Danger Within, which talks about the fact that such a high percentage of us have implants. Yeah. Of various kinds, whether it's a knee replacement or a hip replacement, or whether it's plastic
silicone
surgery,
breast implants.
Or even like silicone chins you know,
and
things
stuff,
like that.
Right.
We have foreign materials, and these foreign materials are supposed to be inert, but sometimes they have immunoreactive effects. So yes, there is. Mm-hmm. I mean, theoretically, a concern. What supplements to take? Well, you know, there's trauma involved, so you know, you may want to take. Some Wobenzyme or something like that, curcumin, things like that. Don't, if you're going to be concerned about bleeding, don't take a lot of fish oil right before.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one, though. We did see this in a patient today, she has a genetic methylation problem. She has MTHFR 1298-677, which means she methylates about 10% as well as a person with full methylation capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
She had dental anesthesia with nitrous oxide, laughing gas, which is what they use in dental anesthesia. And mother reports that she really deteriorated after that. And the mother's very well-informed, read a book on B12, and brought this to my attention and said, do you think she has a potential for having had an induced B12 deficiency, because nitrous oxide tends to interfere with B12 metabolism.
That's interesting.
And I investigated. She does not actually have a B12 deficiency. She has a low B12. She has a genetic thing that makes her requirement for B12 greater.
Mm-hmm.
So the theory is plausible. So one thought is, if you're going to get that type of anesthesia, take some additional B12.
Interesting. Wow. And we did see a lower end of normal B12 for her.
It was three in the 300s,
in
but
the
we would like to see B12 like, you know, 400 or 500.
Yeah.
Especially if somebody's got more of a genetic need for it.
And Joe, the concerns about foreign material, besides it being foreign material, if you have an autoimmune disease or that type of predisposition, it may be exacerbated after the implant. So you would want to be careful about something like that. I would also take, besides things like Wobenzyme, vitamin C, I would take some zinc.
For repair and healing.
All of that. I think it was mentioned. Do you remember?
If antibiotics are given, probiotics might be advisable.
Right. And if you do take probiotics, take them about 2 hours away from the antibiotics that you're being given. So that's
something
there.
See how correctly
there.
I said that? Antibiotics.
Antibiotics.
I said it correctly.
Oh.
You only get me, you see, you don't give me credit when I say it correctly. You bust me when I say antibiotics.
Really? I thought it was only veterinarian.
Well, I also say antibiotics.
Antibiotics. Oh, you've become a New Yorker, all right.
Yeah.
Wait, where are you from? California.
California.
Santa Monica, right. So I'm trying to think of other things. Possibly a little vitamin A in the beginning may also be helpful. With any trauma, magnesium does go down. You want to take some magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that.
And just maybe even some CBD to alleviate the need for pain.
Yeah.
Because, dentists sometimes give you, I think they've changed now with the opioid epidemic, but it used to be like, yeah, here's 30 Vicodins, you don't need 30 Vicodins after you've had a dental procedure. Then you have all that Vicodin sitting around.
Hanging around,
and the kiddies get into the medicine cabinet, and it's like party time. or you may say, well, he gave me 30, I guess I should take 30, and then you try to get off, and it's like, it's like next thing you're addicted.
Right. I remember way back, it was 1996, I had bilateral bunionectomy, Taylor's bunions. That's under the pinky toe,
painful,
folks, not
painful.
under the big toe. And I remember I got he prescribed for me Tylenol 3, and also
that's Tylenol with codeine.
Tylenol with codeine and Demerol, and
Demerol.
The Demerol pill thing was packed. It was a month's worth. I'm like, I only needed these things for the couple of days. The first couple of days were the worst. Beyond that,
do you still have some of that?
No. No, I sold it on the street.
Yeah.
You know? No, but I was surprised at the amount that I was given.
Yeah, it's just like,
Yeah.
So, but they've issued directives to dentists through their dental association that they just need to be more conscientious about that. But about 10% of the really powerful opioid, actually 10% of the antibiotics that are administered prescribed in this country, prescribed by dentists, and that may be overkill too.
Yeah.
And they said that about half the time it's inappropriately prescribed.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Joe, thank you for that question. Oh, here's an interesting one from Jacqueline. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Can you explain what causes a low amino acid profile after completing a nutritional evaluation test?
Yeah, that's something that we do.
Yeah, it is some, yeah. Most of my amino acids
It's a comprehensive nutritional profile. It looks at vitamins and amino acids and essential fatty acids. So it's a very good test.
Right. Most of my amino acids were at the low end of the evaluation. After getting them balanced many months later with a customized amino acid supplement, many went lower again on the following evaluation. How can this be remedied?
The suggestion is that there's some form of malabsorption. It's not just a matter of what's this person's taking in.
Yeah.
It's what's being absorbed.
So that could be something that needs to be investigated with her gut. Maybe you're not absorbing enough that after you stop the supplement, it all goes back to your level of normal, which is underneath.
And these tests are generally administered fasting. So, you're going to go back to baseline when you don't take the thing.
Right. The other thing is, Jacqueline, what kind of diet are you on? Are you vegan? That's a reason for being low in amino acids. And you may need to chronically take an amino acid supplement if you want to continue to eat that way. We're making an assumption here because we don't have that information from you. But look at the health of your gut. If you're already an omnivore, you're eating not just produce, but you're also eating animal protein. You shouldn't have a problem unless it's the
corollary to you are what you eat is you are what you absorb.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So. Good point at which to pause and we'll fast forward to part two.
Wow.
At which point, what questions are we going to be talking about?
Oh, my whole family has osteoporosis. They are of Indian origin.
Indian, like in East Indian?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay, great. We'll tackle that question in part two. This is our weekly Q&A with Layla. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. And we'll be right back with more on our weekly Q&A with Layla.